Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it's 2:48 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is September 26th. Well, I thought we'd kick off with the pound because we've had really some exceptional volatility, where it dropped from about 108 to about 104, and then rebounded quite quickly. But it's been a pretty volatile day across asset classes, and I think the UK is perhaps the most volatile of all. Well, of course, that's in response to the new Truss government's mini budget, which was roundly panned by the markets, and the pound has been falling precipitously. Now, we had a clear rebound off the lows in here today, and that was in anticipation of a clear statement of intent by the Bank of England, and it was not delivered. So the Bank of England is unlikely to raise rates before their next meeting, which is in November, and I think they would only be encouraged to do that on if in the order or in the event that the pound were to accelerate again lower. But perhaps more importantly, gilts did not rebound. If we just look at the 2 year, it's currently trading at 4.57%. So that's 200 basis points above where the Bank of England rate is, and no sign of yields compressing today, despite the rebound that we saw on the pound. And certainly, we can look at this acceleration, and it's very tempting to think, well, this has been an accelerated move, so it must be close to over. But accelerated moves after a prolonged downtrend or an uptrend are not quite the same thing as accelerated moves out of very well-defined ranges, because this looks like the beginning of a new trend, and ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and this is pricing in significant action by the Bank of England. Now let's just look at the pound in with the same lens, and we have a very well-defined range, and now we're getting the acceleration out of that range. So it's an accelerating move, there's no question about that. But that does not mean it's over. It simply means that we may have a pause because it's the breakout from a well-defined range and the beginning of a new portion or period of weakness. So the FTSE 100 today was in positive territory because it was picking up some of the demand coming through from the basically redenomination of the equities into a weaker currency. So it stabilized around the 700, excuse me, 7,000 level. Then gold rallied initially and it got right up to test the all-time peaks, but then gave up the entire advance. And when we look at gold in dollars, well, then it was down about 18, so extending the decline that was posted on Friday. So this is renewing the bear trend, and it's now below, incontrovertibly below the 1,000-day moving average. So coming back down towards the $1,600 area. But this is very much in response to the continued strength of the US dollar. The big challenge for the Bank of England is that the market is starting to price in. They're going to have to raise rates by 200 basis points within the next couple of years. They might even have to go more than that. And of course, that's going to cause particular problems for UK consumers. One of the primary reasons the Bank of England has been reticent to raise rates is because of floating rate mortgages. And even those who have fixed rate mortgages, the fix is very short term. It's not like the mortgage market in the USA, where anyone who was lucky enough to have bought a house before 2022 was able to capture a 30-year mortgage at 3%. People buying a house today are paying closer to 7%. Now, the dollar index continues to extend its breakout from what was effectively a six-year range. So, is it overextended in the short term? Absolutely. Is there reason to believe that when it eventually peaks, then it could easily collapse? Quite possibly. When we think about the fact that corporate profits have not yet rolled over, I think this is one of the most important points. When we look at one of the more important things that I think don't get half enough attention, it's container volumes. So I'm just going to pull up this chart, but one thing that is quite different between North America and Europe is the nature of inflation. So Europe, it really is all about supply. When you think about the issues that Europe has, it's about the war with Russia, the inavailability of natural gas, and the reliance on imports. When we think about the USA, well, then we can think about it's more about demand. There was this huge amount of money printed. A lot of it was saved. The price of property went up like a rocket, and demand in the economy surged. So we can see this in the number of inbound containers. So there's two things I think are very worth highlighting on this chart. The first is how choppy it was before 2020. So we had a clear stocking, unstocking, restocking phase. And that was quite predictable. So we had that every single year. And over the course of decades, the number of containers has been trending higher. But then, over the last 2 years, it popped up to a new high. And we haven't seen a pop-up like this since the initial phases of China turning into an export powerhouse in the early 2000s. So now we don't have the cyclicality anymore. We don't have nearly as choppy data all the way through 2020, 2021, 2022. We're in a higher plateau, no dips down into the underlying range, and so this is basically sustained demand, where we're seeing in excess of 350,000 containers incoming to Los Angeles port every month. So that's rather a lot, and it's way above where we were before. And this is the clear justification for continued strong demand in the US economy. It's also one of the primary reasons why we have inflation. There's lots of supply coming in. There's huge spending underway. People are getting their wages, their wage hikes. They're able to therefore continue to spend. There's low unemployment. There's high capacity utilization. The Federal Reserve doesn't have many options. They have to continue to raise rates. So that's what we're starting to see now. The dollar continues to push higher because the Federal Reserve will have to continue to raise rates. Now, this is going to create issues for the most over-levered portions of the market. Now, we can look at liquid leveraged loans. That's not obviously not the whole universe. And let's put this up on a line chart so we can clearly see that it's starting to roll over. Now, let's just remember that this index is still above the 1,000-day moving average, and it had a really impressive rebound from the low in June. If the Federal Reserve continues to raise rates and the dollar continues to strengthen, then there is, and eventually that's going to have an impact on corporate profits. And corporate profits are still at record highs. And the way I've described it in today's comment of the day is simple enough, that this record number of containers coming into Los Angeles means that every month is like Christmas for retailers. And that's not going to last indefinitely as they continue to raise rates. We are in this environment where there is a long lag between when interest rates go up and when they have an effect on consumer confidence. And we're in that interregnum period. So that's exactly why it would be reasonable to anticipate that leverage loans are going to start underperforming. And the quantity of debt that has been extended to the private equity sector is really rather extraordinary. It's worth also highlighting that Treasury yields are already anticipating that there's an issue. And the total return on the 10-year futures contract rolled over is way below the 1,000-day moving average and encountering resistance on repeated occasions in the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is a really substantial downtrend. And it is quite likely the end of the bull market. But this bull market has been 40 years in the making. So to anticipate that the biggest bull market in history, which has resulted in trillions and trillions of dollars of debt being issued, is going to end without any bankruptcy is really just a nonsensical statement. So we have to anticipate that corporate profits are going to roll over, that bond yields are going to remain under pressure, that central banks are going to be forced to continue to raise rates. And this is going to create a funding issue for governments. Governments, and particularly in the US, are flush with cash right now because sales taxes are higher, property taxes have been higher. The states in the US are flush with cash because of that sales tax revenue. And this is going to be problematic when corporate profits roll over because those sources of revenue are going to evaporate. Bond yields will already be higher. It's going to be more expensive to refinance all of that debt. So this is going to turn into a problematic affair. And what is the Federal Reserve going to do about it? Well, they're probably going to have to try and monetize the debt. And that means the dollar will have to start to come down. So the dollar is obviously still very strong, but we have not yet seen the beginning of a recession in the USA. But it is definitely coming. And the inverted yield curve is the best lead indicator we have. And it's still trading at negative 40 basis points. Now, that has risen today by nearly 10 basis points. The long end of the curve is rising quite quickly. So we can think about the 10-year yield, look at this on a long-dated chart, we can very clearly see that, and this hasn't been updated on the monthly, we can very clearly see that it is breaking higher here. So the 10-year yield is completing its base formation. We're within striking distance of 4%, and there's nothing to say that it's not going to continue higher from here. It is normal to see an explosive move out of a base formation, and that does look like what we're getting right now. And this implies that the bond bull market is ending. So where's all that money going to go? Well, eventually, currencies will stabilize, and the yields will attract some interest. But gold prices continue to remain under pressure because the dollar is strong. So as long as the dollar remains firm, it's going to put downward pressure on gold. But of course, when we switch that around and we look at a weak currency denominated in gold, our gold denominated in the weak currency, well, then we get a rather different picture. So the pound was quite weak in the morning, and that supported gold. Gold started selling off, and the pound rebounded, so then that took some of the impetus out of gold. And then let's think about Japan, where the government intervened without the aid of the central bank last week, and that didn't help the cause of the yen this week. So the yen was weakening further in here today, but not in as dynamic a manner. So gold in yen is back in the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, when we think about stock markets, the Nasdaq 100 is in the region of the 1,000-day moving average and has so far failed to bounce. So there's, I think, two things that are important here. Investors still want to buy the dip, and I'm posting two different emails. One is asking whether Apple will be able to circumvent all these issues and prosper in this environment. Well, my answer is it's exceptionally unlikely because corporate profits haven't really rolled over yet, but they will. And then the other is there's innovation in the battery sector, and some of these companies are starting to rally, but maybe they'll be better bought following a recession. And I think that's also that I think that is probably true, but they have priced in a lot of bad news already. So when we look at some of these companies, they have sold off aggressively over the course of the last year. But then the bigger question is, what was their valuation when they were acquired by SPACs? And the SPAC universe is coming under exceptional pressure. And this is, I think, the thin end of the wedge for the private equity sector. There are a large number of private companies who were enabled to go public through special purpose acquisition vehicles. But then there are lots of other private companies still held by private equity firms and did not go public. They're not being marked to market, but that doesn't mean that they're prospering. And all of the debt that's been accumulated and all of the issues that have arisen for the pension sector are coming into sharper focus today. Pensions were starved of yield. They had to invest in these private funds. So wads of cash were devoted to private equity over the course of the last decade. Well, now yields are rising, so that's becoming more attractive for pensions. They will be buying bonds. They can now get yield in the bond markets, which means there will be less money available to private equity firms. It also then, if corporate profits do roll over, and I suspect we're in the process of seeing that happen now, then the profitability of those companies is going to be less of a factor. They're going to have to refinance those leveraged loans, and there'll be less money available because pensions won't have to invest in illiquid assets. So what we are potentially looking at is a significant issue in the private equity sector. Now, it's always important to try and identify what the epicenters of risk are. And if the bond bull market is ending, then the epicenter of risk is in the issuers of debt. So the biggest issuers of debt have been among the private equity sector. They've been in government, and then it's in property developers in China. So China's property developers are a major source of global volatility, and China has so far been rather unwilling to be seen to rescue moral hazard. So the renminbi was weaker Friday, off its lows in here today. We might see some steadier action as it's testing the 7.2 area, and that's the region of the lows for the renminbi, and the peak for the dollar over the last 5 years. So it's a normal area where we could anticipate some steadier action. But the bigger issue is China going to be willing to devalue the currency through 720 in order to plow additional cash into supporting the property sector? One thing that I thought was also particularly interesting this weekend was there were rumors coming out of China on Saturday that there had been a coup in Beijing and that Xi Jinping was under house arrest. Now, the market didn't react to that in here today, so there's probably not much in that news. But what it also is suggestive of is that it's a great example of court drama. And that's probably the best way to think about Xi's government, in that he's the emperor. So there are going to be dramas in the court of Xi. And this is normal in that kind of court drama. So what he's probably doing is trying to snuff out, or basically it's a bait and switch operation. You put out a rumor of your own demise, you see what heads pop up in support of your opposition, then you come out and you take their heads off. So that's quite likely to be what's underway, considering that we're only a few weeks away from the Party Congress. And then, of course, the question is, what do we get after the Party Congress? And will there be more efforts underway to try and support the economy? The one thing that asset prices everywhere need is a clear avenue for access to additional liquidity. We see that there are a large number of stock markets that have come back into the region of their lows from June, or are already exceeding them, or are likely to come back and test them. And this is a global phenomenon. So we're seeing interest rates rising everywhere. The Swiss market has broken down, so this is another leg lower in here. And we're still in a bearish environment. We have not yet seen efforts by central banks to support asset prices, and therefore stocks will sell off until we do. And there's still, I think, too much willingness to want to buy the dip. And it's not really until we have true capitulation, where people feel under exceptional duress that they have to sell the things they love. And I think that's when we start to see some support coming through, but we're just not there yet. And most particularly, the FANG shares haven't rolled over and broken down just yet. So I think it's inevitable that they will. But these eight shares continue to represent nearly 21% of the entire market. And this bear market won't end until they've broken down and leadership changes. And that hasn't happened yet either. So I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.